From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, it's Friday. Happy Friday. Russ Jones, producer of the show, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Family Research Council powers this very program, Washington Watch. It's good to be with you. Well, President Trump has ordered former CIA Director John Brennan's security clearance to be revoked, and you can imagine how the left is responding to that. And we continue to learn more about the New Mexico compound that was training kids to commit school shootings. The reaction to the shocking ruling of the judge who released the jihadi suspects on $20,000 bail. Absolutely outrageous. Congressman Louis Gohmert, one of our friends here at Washington Watch of Texas, will be here in just a moment with his thoughts on that. And remember during the Obama administration, conservative groups were the subjects of illegal and unwarranted scrutiny by the IRS for political purposes. And hundreds of nonprofit organizations had their nonprofit applications stalled for months on end. Let's go down memory lane here. Listen to Tea Party's Becky Gerritsen of Alabama testify in Congress. Listen.
Our organization fell within the boundaries of receiving a 501c4 status. Yet, our application was singled out solely because we had Tea Party in our name. Government agents made invasive and excessive demands for information they were not entitled to. Congressman Camp and members of this committee, this was not an accident. This is a willful act of intimidation to discourage a point of view.
Well, a judge this week approved a settlement between the IRS and hundreds of Tea Party groups in which the federal agency agreed to pay out $3.5 million. We'll talk with Greg Wrightstone, who was with a group that got caught up in all that mess. He'll be here a little later in the show. And you don't have to look very far for voices who seek to tag President Trump supporters as, well, racist. Yeah, maybe you've been called that from many Democrats and the mainstream media, yet most know that simply isn't true. In one predominantly white Texas town, proved Trump supporters aren't racist by electing, yes, a black mayor in Abilene, Texas, with a predominantly white voter base. We'll have a conversation with Brandon Tatum, director of urban engagement of Turning Point USA, about the mythology happening around issues of race. And all of this great content can be found on TonyPerkins.com. You can follow Tony on Twitter at TPerkins, and you can follow me at RJonesReports on Twitter. And make sure you get that standing app, the app that will help you get this radio program at the ease of your fingertips if you're not around a radio station or the internet. It's on TonyPerkins.com. Well, as most likely know by now, the reaction to the White House ordering former CIA Director John Brennan's security clearance to be revoked is all over the place. Apparently, President Trump is just getting started. He says he plans to revoke the security clearance for Justice Department official Bruce Orr. And reaction has been strong concerning jihadi extremists on a New Mexico compound being released to house arrest. And, $20,000 signature bond. Unbelievable, which means they just simply had to sign a document promising to return to court when it's time for trial. Well, joining us now is Congressman Louis Gohmert. He represents the 1st Congressional District of Texas and serves on the House Judiciary Committee. Louis Gohmert, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Always good to be with you. Thank you. And you're right. It really is outrageous. As a former felony judge who set bonds, I was shocked by the ignorance of the judge, not just the poor judgment. I saw a quote that she said that she had not had it proved to her by clear and convincing evidence. She needs to meet the Constitution. The Constitution requires probable cause, not clear and convincing evidence. For heaven's sake, once they established probable cause, and you had dead child's remains found out there and connections to the World Trade Center original bombing, and then to people in that at least. And then, the ease with which one could cross the border into Mexico and further south, it all should have come into play. The judge is allowed to consider, even if it's not introduced into evidence, geography, that's widely known and accepted. So it's just amazing that she would set a bond at $20,000, which when there's a dead body that came into play, along with the abuse, it's just unbelievable.
Well, Congressman, you have sat behind the bench in the black robe, and you have seen a number of trials and, you know, both sides of the issues. What would motivate, I mean, when you've got evidence such as you just eloquently went through, obviously this is where we hear about legislating from the bench, so to speak, but the liberalism and the bias that can impact our culture. I mean, these are folks impacted by this in your neighboring state.
Well, one of my concerns is that this is more affected by political correctness than anything else in the country. It is a cancer. It is a disease that is adversely affecting good judgment, both from the bench as well as in our federal federal executive branch. You've seen it in the FBI to the point that Peter Strzok could lie repeatedly and say, I had no bias whatsoever. We can read his texts and they speak for themselves. And basically, Lisa Page testified as much without getting into specifics. At least she didn't push and shock the conscience the way Peter Strzok did in her private deposition. I mean, some of those text messages were clear, but it has adversely affected everything. This political correctness, it's now politically correct to hate Trump, to demean anybody that voted for him, or even if they didn't vote for him, if they think now he's doing a good job. But I think that's what we see coming out of a bench like we did with the compound, the judge deciding, yeah, $20,000 signature bond should be quite sufficient. Mm-hmm. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's not even close.
Well, and as we all know, and I'm sure you know, President Trump, he's from New York. He's kind of a street fighter. I mean, he's worked his way through life, and he knows the art of the deal. And in regards to the security clearances here with John Brennan, my question would be, you know what? When I've left the job and I had a certain key, electronic, credit card key to get into the building, I turned it in. What is so surprising about this?
Well, it's not surprising at all for anybody that's been paying attention. This is a guy that went before Congress and lied and then admitted, maybe that wasn't complete truth. You're right. You perjured yourself. You're a liar. And I think when we get down to it, we're going to find out that Brennan was completely involved, maybe even the emanating source on this whole facade about Russian collusion. And so, it's kind of the old thing, you throw a rock into the pig pen and whichever one squeals is the one that got hit. I think Brennan, with all the digging that's going on now into the lies that were called the Russia collusion with the Trump administration, I think those rocks are starting to come down on Brennan. And so we're going to heal it. This won't be all that he squeals. He's going to be squealing a lot. He has recently, and it's going to continue as I think he comes closer to having the limelight shine completely on him, perhaps at his boss. Maybe Strzok and Page were right. Maybe POTUS did want to know everything that they were doing, as was said. So, but Brennan certainly, I think, is going to end up being a cog in that wheel that created the whole fallacy of the Russia collusion. So you're going to hear him screaming a lot more. You're going to hear Clapper screaming more. And you mentioned Bruce Orr. This is a guy that we now know was using his position at the FBI, getting his check from the FBI, and yet working 100% to try to help Hillary Clinton get elected and Trump defeated, and then even to take Trump out of office by the creation. I mean, he was a political operative through his wife and through Michael Steele. But this, it's really outrageous what it appears that Bruce Orr was doing. His deposition's coming up behind closed doors on August 28th, and that will be most interesting.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins, and we're talking with Congressman Louie Gohmert of Texas. And I presume you're back in the district. And just on a personal note, Congressman, how are you doing? I mean, just the political incivility. This isn't my first rodeo either. I've been in media 40-some years as a conservative. Take a picture, Louie. I'm a rarity. Yeah. But how are you doing? I mean, you know, the average people see their IRAs and their investments and, you know, things are clicking along and people are working. But everybody I talk to are just amazed at where we are as a nation and how we talk with one another. How are you navigating that?
Well, it's been clear for some time that this one little bubble in time and space that God allowed Christians to have, where what we were told that, you know, we're going to suffer for Christ's sake, that, you know, Jesus said, you know, remember when they hate you, they hated me first. But we had this bubble, Russ, where we've been allowed to grow up and live in the one place where Christians were not persecuted for being Christians. And that because of the infidelity of the country. And I don't mean sexually, I mean infidelity to our Maker. Mm-hmm. We're seeing that disappear, and it has become a dangerous place. Heck, I was mentioned in two letters to the editor today in East Texas in a negative sense. And by the way, for those who saw the clip of me grilling Peter Strzok and in addressing one of the letters to the editor, I was not addressing his infidelity to his wife. What I was addressing was his lies. And he is a guy who said in his private deposition, he said at the hearing, he always tells the truth. Oh, no, he never lies. And so even in the relaxed rules of the hearing, well, of course, that kind of thing was admissible. It was appropriate, relevant, germane. But even in a jury trial where we have such strict rules of evidence, with the things that he had said about him always telling the truth, all the lies he repeatedly told his wife were admissible. Now, anything you want to keep secret, like infidelity to your spouse, that's very relevant when it comes to your security clearance. But it's not relevant necessarily to our hearing. What was relevant was all of the massive number of lies he's told.
Right.
But we're going to find out more and more about Brennan and Clapper as the days go on. And you, Russ, get ready for them to squeal a lot more because the rocks are going to be hitting harder and harder
All right.
closer to home.
Thanks, Congressman Gohmert. Thank you so much for being on Washington Watch. Appreciate you. Love what your work. Thanks for your service, Congressman Louie Gohmert of Texas. Well, coming up next, remember when the IRS stalled the applications of dozens of Tea Party groups and conservative nonprofits during the Obama years? Well, a $3.5 million settlement has been reached, and we'll talk with Gregory Wrightstone, who was caught up in all that scandal, when we return. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Indeed, you are listening to Washington Watch. It's Friday. Hear the whistle blow? Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
I was asked to hand over my donor list, including the amounts that they gave and the dates on which they gave them. 501c4 organizations do not have to disclose donor information. I knew that. Why don't they? Remember, this is the 2012 election cycle. Within days of reading through these questions, we knew we were being targeted, because fellow Tea Party organizers across this nation were getting the same types of letters and questionnaires.
And that's Tea Party's Becky Gerritsen giving an emotional testimony on the IRS targeting back in the Obama administration. And if you recall, the Tea Party and other conservative groups delivered that emotional plea for Washington to rein in government overreach and told lawmakers about how the IRS targeted them with relentless paperwork and intrusive questions when they sought tax-exempt status. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, producer of this show, sitting in for Tony Perkins. With us now is founder and president, the former founder and president of the Pennsylvania Coalition for Responsible Government and author of Inconvenient Facts, Gregory Wrightstone. Greg, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much. Appreciate having me on and telling my story.
Yes, I wanted to. I wanted our listeners to hear your story. And now you're very much involved in geology, and you point out the lies and deceptions of Al Gore in climate change. But back in that time period, you were involved with the Pennsylvania Coalition for Responsible Government. You take it from there. You were trying to get your nonprofit status. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I was, as you said, I was founder and president of the Pennsylvania Coalition for Responsible Government, and we predated the Tea Party by several months, the big rise of the Tea Parties, and because of that, we incorporated before most of them, and then also requested our tax-exempt status before. So we were in the first wave of these conservative groups to get the famous IRS letter, and I think we provided a copy to you to see just how intrusive it was. We were actually number 8 on the IRS hit list. And we were shocked when we got this. We got it early January. By the time we got it, it was the 15th. We had to respond by the 31st. This incredibly detailed information is that the woman said they wanted our complete donor list with names, amounts, you name it, any communication we had with anyone, anyone we'd speaking to in our, or spoken to in our roles, complete list of all members.
It was incredible. I mean, this is you're supposed to be filing for this in confidentiality, and we got this letter, and immediately our treasurer resigned. She was a CPA for a large firm, and she just says, "Oh my God, I can't be involved. You know, I love you guys, I love what we're doing, but I got to walk away." And I was in the middle, or just closing on a equity financing for a startup. We were closing on $400 million, and there's no equity company wants to touch somebody that's, you know, I couldn't risk it. So we immediately, my other two partners were both businessmen, and we all decided, you know, we can't, you know, the IRS, it might be in a cage right now, but it could, you know, you don't want to rattle that tiger with a stick. He might get out of the cage one day. So we
go ahead.
Yeah, so we withdrew our application, then ended up unincorporating. So we all have stayed extremely active politically, and you know, are involved deeply with campaigns supporting conservatives.
Let me ask you this, Greg. If a Republican wouldn't have been elected and we would have Hillary, say, in the White House, do you think we would have seen this settlement from the IRS?
I'm highly doubtful, highly doubtful. You know, we're seeing the Trump effect in a lot of things here. I don't know. We got an apology from the IRS last year. But just a $3.5 million settlement. I will say I was not part of that. I considered it, but I was still involved with this company, and I really had to stay away from it.
That really isn't a whole lot of money if you consider how many, right?
Correct, but every little bit helps, but you know it. The big story, I think, that's gone untold, maybe it has been told, but, you know, with me and my book, I'm going around the country talking about climate change and whatnot. But what I'm finding are these Tea Party groups, because I would be a natural speaker for their groups, they've gone away. So many have shut down, or, you know, where they used to have 250 people show up every month, you know, they get 32. And so I think what we've seen recently is the Trump rallies replacing those Tea Party rallies. We're getting that same group of people with their sense of community and like-mindedness out there that we used to see at the Tea Party rallies.
Right. Well, you know, and there has been some vindication, I think, and at least the scandal and the targeting was exposed. And now, you know, paying that kind of money says, yeah, we were guilty. I mean, there's nothing like a settlement saying, yeah, we were, but doesn't it say they didn't have to express guilt?
Yeah, but it's such a shame. We had such a great group. We were statewide, thousands of members. We were really getting good things done, meeting with our both U.S. and state representative, testifying in Washington and in our home state of Harrisburg in the state capitol. We were very effective. And, you know, I think they had to shut us down, not just us, but when I say us, I'm at the Tea Party movement. And, in our case, Lois Lerner won. But like I say, those of us that are involved, and I know the other Tea Party leaders have gone on to, for most of the part, have gone on to be very politically active and have actually gone on and won races in the House and the Senate. Yeah. I will say,
well, Greg,
they wanted me to testify in Washington, but I had to say no.
Well, you would have been a good one. Greg, we're out of time, but we'll have you back on to talk about Inconvenient Facts and your thoughts on global warming. But we're out of time right now. Thank you so much for joining us. That's Gregory Wrightstone and author of Inconvenient Facts, and caught up back in the day with that IRS scandal. Really insightful. Well, coming up next, a Texas town proves that Trump supporters aren't racist after all. We'll talk about it next with Brandon Tatum. He is with Turning Point USA, a group that is doing amazing things. You're not going to want to miss that. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins, and you're listening to Washington Watch. Make sure you go to TonyPerkins.com and get all this great content.
feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Reports are that Hillary Clinton is going to try and accuse this campaign and all of you, and going to accuse decent Americans who support this campaign, your campaign, of being racists, which we're not. It's the oldest play in the Democratic playbook. When Democratic policies fail, they are left with only this one tired argument. You're racist, you're racist, you're racist. They keep saying it, you're racist. It's a tired, disgusting argument.
Well, that was then-candidate Donald Trump in 2016 on the campaign trail, challenging Hillary Clinton and the left's attempts to caricature Trump supporters as racist and Donald Trump himself. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. Well, an article in Newsweek by my friend and colleague Lee Habib, he's host of Our American Stories, a nationally syndicated radio show and podcast, writes about Abilene, Texas, a population that is nearly 80% white. Well, just months after electing Donald Trump, guess what? They elected a black mayor, Anthony Williams, a town with only 10% black population. The community also overwhelmingly supported Donald Trump during the 2016 campaign. In this town, it was the first time in the town's 136-year history, and did so by a wide margin. You won't hear this story on the mainstream media, yet it is the norm. I live in Mississippi. It's the norm. There aren't people running around saying, racism, you're racist, you're this, you're that. It only comes from the elites in our political class. Well, with us now is Brandon Tatum. He's director of urban engagement with Turning Point USA. I've been watching his work and just thoroughly impressed with this young man. Wanted to have him on. Brandon, thank you so much. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Well, you heard that audio clip, and I kind of set this up, and you're out in the mix of things and talking. You're out talking to folks, and you're in the middle of working in this kind of divisive political environment right now. What are your thoughts about these claims and what I just set up here?
I think the president, and this is why I like the president and why, you know, I've supported him. And, you know, obviously in the private capacity of my own decision making, because he's just telling the truth, man. This is an old tactic. they just want to call people racist if they don't agree with them. Hopefully they will demonize them and end up winning a group of people in a voting block. But overall, I don't believe that Donald Trump is a racist. I don't believe that the president is a racist. I don't believe that most people who support him, that they are racist. It's just simply not true. And I think that we see a shift in understanding, and people are starting to wake up to the fact of the old tactics by the left to demonize people. But we're waking up, and I think that you can see that being reflected in stats. You can see it being reflected in, you know, the support for the president on all sides, whether it be female, whether it be black, white, you name it.
Now, that's not to say that there aren't issues of racism and there are things that shouldn't happen and words that shouldn't be shared. I don't think anybody is denying that. And I think it happens from both ethnics, if you know what I mean. But for the most part, I think most folks are just trying to feed their families. They're trying to live a great life. If they're a Christian, they're trying to live a godly life. They're just getting up every day, trying to be faithful, trying to be loyal to their family, trying to make a living and want the country to really be a good place to be. I've traveled all over the world, and I'm telling you, the United States is a very unique place. And you were in the mix of that. Now, you grew up in Texas, in Fort Worth. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I grew up in Fort Worth, what I consider to be in and around what we call the hood my whole life. You know, my dad is a firefighter. He's actually a fire chief in Waco, Texas. And, you know, so I've had a plethora of experiences and exposure, and the majority of the incidents that I've been in or involvement with other people have never been racist or racial related. You know, I think that it's all a person's perspective in which they project on other people. I mean, any given time in life, you can project racism on anybody at any time. If a white person do anything to you as a black person, if a white person do anything to you that you don't like or you feel offended by, you can throw the race card out. But when you look at it in reality, that doesn't necessarily mean a person is a racist against you just because their race is different and they do something you don't like. But in Fort Worth, I've never dealt with racism, man. I mean, most people just get along. Like you said, we're just trying to go and survive in the everyday life. And most of us could care less. On the football teams I played on, I've been to schools that were multicultural. I also been to schools that were primarily black and never had racial issues. We work together in the classroom. The teachers teach the students. Everybody works hard. We work together on the football field. And everybody lives a productive life for the most part. You know, racism exists in a very, very small pocket of people in this country. Whom to be quite honest, in 2018, they have absolutely no power to do anything effective against anybody else.
Listen, Brendan, we're up against a hard break. Can you hold on and come back just for a few minutes? You've got an event coming up, and I want to hear about it.
Yes, I can hang.
All right, that'd be great. You're listening to Washington Watch, and I'm Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. And we're talking about these accusations of Trump supporters being racist. Well, most of us know that we're not racist. Most of us don't live that way, don't have those kind of thoughts and ideas. We're talking with Brandon Tatum. He's the director of urban engagement with Turning Point USA. And also talking about Abilene, Texas, electing a black mayor in a town that's about 80% white. What does that say? We're going to keep talking about it. Don't go away. I want to hear from you. You're listening to Washington Watch. Going to take your calls.
86- out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen. Sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Well, it's Friday. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins, and we're talking with Brandon Tatum, Director of Urban Engagement at Turning Point USA. Brandon, thanks for holding on. Let me read the first paragraph of this column written by my friend Lee Habib in Newsweek about the Texas town that proves Trump supporters aren't racist. To know Abilene is to know an American town that today's elite political class simply can't wrap their small-minded heads around. No other town in America voted more heavily for President Trump than this former frontier town in West Texas, nearly 80%. Leftist media types and academics would look at those kind of numbers and jump to all kinds of knee-jerk conclusions, just as CNN's white resentment evangelist Van Jones did when on election night and without any supporting facts, he called the Trump win a white lash. Well, Brandon, you are involved with an event coming up in October, and you're trying to confront these kind of mythologies. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I mean, our main goal is to apply principles that can make young people, and I call it most people young. I mean, this is between the age of 14 and 35. So to give them information that can inspire them to be leaders in their own communities. But our goal in this event, and I'll talk a little bit about the event in a second, but our goal is to give them information, education, and inspiration. And I think those principles will make them successful. Now, the event is going to be in Washington, D.C. It's going to be October the 25th through the 28th. We just got that those days extended. For everybody between the age of 14 and 35 that get accepted after you apply, we will cover the travel, the stay, make sure you eat and get you back home safely. And that is courtesy of a bunch of people who are coming together that want to see people in our community prosper, people in our community have awareness. And we have a exclusive surprise for people who get accepted, who show up at the event. We can't really disclose it, but what I will say is that it's in D.C., and people that show up will probably want to look their best when they show up. So it's going to be amazing. And I think that it's going to shift or be another element that shifts culture and gets people more involved and awake to the reality of who they really are in this country and what this country means to them. And I'm excited. I mean, we have so much support. We have so many dynamic speakers. And as we get more and more speakers confirmed, we'll put them out on social media. So, if people want to sign up, you know, you go to turningpointusa.com, which is tpusa.com/YBLS2018. tpusa.com/YBLS2018. Go on and apply now. You know, the applications are coming in, and we don't want to run out of space. So if you really want to get in there, you need to apply now.
And what is there a deadline?
Well, the deadline is going to be once we reach capacity, and we want to get at least 300 people on board. We want to get at least 600 applications of people who really want to be involved. And then out of that 600, right now we could probably take about 300. But we want to get everybody who wants to be involved, who have passion for a mission to be open-minded and all of the above, and then we can try to narrow it down and get to the top people to come. But if all else fails, I mean, we can always extend it. But what we don't want to happen is for people to linger and wait to the last minute and then apply, and then we don't have any spots for those seats because we have to reserve space and all of the above.
Sounds like a great event. And if you're listening, folks, make sure you tell your young folks in your life to go to Turning Point USA, and you can find out all that information. Brandon Tatum, thank you so much. Appreciate what you're doing out there. Don't be a stranger. Yeah, let's get you back on.
I won't. Thanks for having me. I'm on anytime you want me to.
All right. Brandon Tatum, Director of Urban Engagement at Turning Point USA, a group that's focusing on young folks, and you probably remember Candace. She's part of that whole group and whatnot. Well, it's always good to be on radio with you. Want to go to the phone lines now, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. And you may have been listening. Tony addressed the gender-neutral bathrooms on radio yesterday, talking about the North Kansas City School District. And folks, you want to know something? That was my school district growing up in the Kansas City area in the first and second grade. That was my school district. It's hard to imagine that this is going on. Well, we had a caller that called about these bathrooms, and the caller raised a very good question. Let's listen.
Calling you from the Wichita, Kansas area. I was just listening to this report about what this school system in Kansas City is doing. Ridiculous. What I want to ask is, do the female teachers who work at this school have to abide by the same criteria? In other words, do the male and female teachers have the same setup in their restrooms so that when ladies are in a restroom, that the parents, grandparents, relatives of any of the students follow them into the same type of environment? And if they're so privileged as to have separate facilities, who in the world do they think they are?
Isn't that a great question? Well, I called one of the schools, Rising Hills Elementary School in North Kansas City, and kind of caught them off guard, talked to, I presume, receptionist there in the office, and told them who I was, and asked them that very question. And, well, we're not talking with the press. We're not talking with the media. I'll have to send you to the principal's voicemail. And I said, well, just let me ask you a question. Do you have the same gender-neutral bathrooms for your faculty and staff? We have a guest bathroom, and it's just like what a guest bathroom would be like. Didn't really answer my question. And then I said, well, for your faculty and staff, do you have restrooms where, say, for example, you would allow three female teachers and three male teachers to all go to the bathroom in the same bathroom, just like you're providing now for the students, for the little elementary age kids? Got hung up on. Didn't get an answer. But to our caller in Wichita, that is a great, great question. Let's go to Mary in Kansas. Hey, Mary, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. I was going to say about the Kansas City bathrooms and other things that the left wing are doing. You know, since Obama got happy with a pen and did a lot of executive orders before he went out to cause trouble for President Trump, I wish President Trump would get out and say, okay, if you're going to have a co-ed bathroom, they either have to have a monitor in there, an adult monitor, or the common area has to be on video at all times so someone from the office can watch and make sure there is no harassment between boys and girls, girls and boys, mm-hmm. and before they bring in anybody like a drag queen to read or do anything in the school, they have to get a signature from all the parents in that class saying they do not object to it. So I just wish, I hope and pray, I'm dumb, I'm not a lawyer or anything, but I hope and pray President Trump could do something like that to throw a wrench in their seed and what they're trying to do to our children.
Well, first, Mary, you're not dumb. That's, you know, you've made very, very compelling statements there. One of the insights I heard that I thought was very relevant, that when you're in an institutional setting like that with children and people, you never want to give students and whatnot the ability to lock themselves away from those in authority and are responsible for protecting them. I thought that's another really good point. And one of the ways that people can get involved with this is to run for school board, because this is where it's happening. Mary in Kansas, thank you for calling. Let's go to Lenny in Houston, Texas. Hi, Lenny.
Hi, how you doing?
I am blessed and highly favored, more than I deserve. Thank you so much for asking.
Amen. Yes, sir. So the ministry we're working with is we try to encourage people that you're making either a decision for God or a decision for Satan, everything you do. So what we have is we on our website, we have the Glad Lifestyle, God-led American diet lifestyle, and the exact opposite is the Sad Lifestyle, which is the satanic alternative diet lifestyle. So every mm-hmm. decision we make is either for God or for Satan. So, yeah, so we're just trying to spread the word. Every decision we make, no matter what it is going to be either for God or for Satan.
Well, that is great, great insights there, Lenny, and good for you in Houston, Texas. I mean, when you break it down like that, it's pretty simple. Either what you're doing is loving on God and pursuing God's kingdom and purposes, or it's against the evil one. Thanks, Lenny. Let's go to Jerry in Fort Smith, Arkansas. Hey, Jerry, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thank you. I just want to ask, what makes them think that gender-neutral bathrooms are necessary or even appropriate? I mean, it confuses me, and I don't understand.
Well, Jerry, at the root of it, I think we have to understand that there is an ultimate underlying agenda, and the agenda is pushing the LGBTQ agenda, and it's capturing the hearts and the minds of our children, our young children, and embedding in them this anything goes kind of lifestyle that has nothing to do with the biblical perspective of marriage and relationships and sex and all of those things. We're seeing it in the curriculum. We're seeing it in our schools. And, you know, Jerry, I was thinking about that. In the first grade, I would have been scared to death, just horrified to go into a bathroom with a bunch of other girls. Maybe I'm just weird.
I can't go into a bathroom.
there's so many private things that happen in a restroom, and, you know, noises and things that have body functions and whatnot. And you know, and girls and boys are just very different, but our schools don't want to acknowledge that and see those differences. Jerry, thanks for calling. Appreciate you listening down there in Fort Smith, Arkansas. Let's go to Joe in Ohio and give us a call. We've got time for a few more calls. 866-372-7234. Joe, welcome.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I enjoyed your story on the Texas town and your last guest, Brandon Tatum. And I wanted to, people are hopefully waking up and realizing that, you know, if the liberals accuse the conservatives of something, it's something they're guilty of themselves. Just like during the election when, Hillary was accusing Trump of Russian collusion, it was Hillary and her husband that were, you know, sold the uranium and got the $500,000 right. for the speeches. It was the liberals that were colluding with Russia. When, you know, Hillary accuses Trump of having issues with women, it was Hillary's husband that was sexually assaulting women, and then Hillary threatening the women when they wanted to come forward. Same you know, same thing. They accuse the conservatives of being homophobes. It's the Hillary Clinton that accepted, you know, $1 million donations from countries that throw the homosexuals off the third floor of buildings. You know, they accuse the conservatives of being anti-women, and, you know, why Hillary is accepting $1 million donations from countries that got the worst women rights records on record. And you just watch them. You know, they always want to attack the black conservatives that run because it destroys our narrative. And some of the worst violations against the blacks have been victimized in these liberal-run towns, whether it's Chicago or Baltimore or Detroit or California. The liberal-run towns victimize the minorities the worst.
Well, very good insights, Joe. I appreciate that. Joe in Ohio always has some good thoughts and a loyal listener here on Washington Watch. Let's go to Donna in Missouri, where all this is happening with the gender-neutral bathrooms. Hey, Donna, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I just have a question. I mean, we know that this is inappropriate. It's not right. Morally, it's wrong. What can we do? Even if Obama, you know, signed this into being before he left office, what can we do now to get it reversed? What would it take? And isn't that what we should be working on?
Well, it would take folks in the state looking at the laws. It would take folks in that school district there in every school district to run for school board. We hear this from Tony all the time. This is not a sideline sport, the work of politics. It's a place where we need to be in the trenches and working, and running for school board is one of those kind of positions that is vitally important to setting the course of our communities. And we're seeing it more and more, and it takes people that are willing to say, you know what, I'm going to etch out this time, I'm going to go raise the money, I'm going to go knock on doors, and I'm going to get elected and start pushing forth a godly worldview. Let's go to Scott in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Hey, Scott, just a few minutes left.
Yes, sir, I'm here. I just wanted to remind people that what's going on in this world today is straight out of Scripture, that what we're wrestling against is not of this world, it's not of flesh and blood. It's of principalities and powers of the unseen world, and the only way that we're going to defeat that is through prayer. Pray for our president, pray for the leaders, pray for nations, all of that. So when you ask yourself, why is this happening, all this confusion, chaos, all that, it's from the enemy. And we have to keep that in mind. So I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah.
Because that is the answer to what is happening in the world today.
Well, Scott, that's an excellent call to end on. And with that in mind, from Romans 8:31, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Friends, it's been indeed a pleasure to be with you here today. I consider it pure joy to be with you and honored to have this opportunity to share on Washington Watch and to hear from you and to lift up these guests. If the waters don't rise and the Lord tarries, we'll see you on Monday. God bless.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.